God is good. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Today, I want to share with you just a thought of Thanksgiving as we approach the Thanksgiving Day on Thursday. Again, as I said earlier, Thanksgiving ought to be every day that we live, and we ought to be grateful for the opportunity that we even have to be here. And truly today, I understand just how fortunate I am, how blessed I am. And be honest with you, even though no matter what your circumstance may be, and I realize they may be different, and I realize folks go through difficult times, we still have to maintain that our God has been good to us in all that He's done and all that He's doing. This is one of my favorite songs. I've preached many times from it, and I'm sure you've heard some messages from it, and I've preached it at the nursing home in various places. I've read it, I've prayed over it, and I've allowed God to use it to speak to my heart. For we find the psalmist David writing, and literally what he's doing, I believe, is praising the Lord. I believe he wrote these words when he was probably an older man. It arises from the heart of a man who has experienced both in the consequences of sin, in the action of the overcoming and getting forgiveness that God gives. And by the way, God is a forgiving God, and God is willing to forgive, and the pardon and the grace of God. I'm grateful today for what God has done for me. I tell you, I don't deserve it, but God has been good to me and my wife and my family, and I'm grateful today from it. And so I want to speak to you today on this subject. You already see it before you. Let's just praise the Lord. I want you to understand today, I do not believe, I believe everything in the church ought to be done decently and in order. But I'm afraid sometimes we fail to really get excited about what we ought to be excited about, and that's what God's done for us. And I'm grateful today as I look around and understand that God truly has been good to me in my life. He's blessed me in more ways than I deserve. And I look around. This week I was at the nursing home, and I saw the many people there, and I thought about how blessed I am. I'm seeing a lot of doctors now, you know, with some problems I'm having. And I tell you, it almost seems inevitably that everybody in the doctor's office is worse off than I am. And sometimes I feel like I just need to shut up and not complain. And I don't want to complain, but I'm grateful today for God's goodness to me. Received a call this week from out of town from a person that's going through a very difficult struggle. And I tell you, we prayed together and we wept together and we talked about it. And then I remembered how good God has been to me. And so this morning, I hope that somehow or another, when this message is over, I've stirred you up enough. Now listen, I'm not here to work up your emotions. I'm here to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to get a hold of your heart. And if He gets a hold of your heart, truly today, we ought to praise the Lord for what He's done. For sake of time this morning, I'm going to begin with reading verse 1 and 2. We'll be looking through the whole chapter. But the Bible said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Our Father, Lord, we thank You today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together this morning. Lord, You have been good. Another year has gone by, another Thanksgiving we're about on the eve of. And Lord, we thank You today for saving our soul. We thank You for eternal life. And no matter what happens from this day forward, we know, Lord, that one day we're going to be with You in heaven. And what a joy and thrill that ought to bring to our hearts. Lord, one day we know that all heartache and sorrow and disappointment will be over. And Lord, even though many times down here it's difficult and hard, Lord, we know the promises of the Word of God and all that You've given to us. And Lord, lest we not forget the good things that You've done for us all these years. Lord, the blessings that You bestowed upon us. And Lord, I pray today that You would anoint my lips. And Lord, that You would encourage us and stir us and challenge us that we might love You more than we ever have. Praise You more than we ever have. And Lord, just desire today that the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit would be evident in our midst. And Lord, today that praise would flow from our lips as we rejoice in what You've done for us. Father, we ask now that You would bless, I pray, this message in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe what David was doing was giving a psalm that would reflect upon all the good things that God has done for him through the years. This morning we could talk about some difficulties, we could talk about some trials, we could talk about David's sin, but we could also talk about the fact that God through it all was there to meet his every need, and God was willing even when he came to him to forgive him of his sin. This psalm is about the praise of God in the lives of His people. Truly today and again, we cannot dwell and reflect upon bad things. We must dwell and reflect upon the good things that God has done in our life. I promise you today, things could be a lot worse in probably every one of our lives. Truly today, I realize it can be in mine. If it be physical, that I could be a lot worse off than I am. But I'm grateful today for God's blessings on me. I believe this psalm is a psalm about a psalmist rejoicing and lifting his heart up with an anthem of wonder and adoration and worship for the God who has blessed him, the God who has saved him, and the God who is keeping him through it all that he might meet his every need. I believe this psalm is special. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, wrote about this psalm. He said, "As in the lofty Alps, some peaks rise above all others, so among even the inspired psalms, there are heights of some which overtop the rest. The 103rd psalm has ever seemed to us to beat the Monte Rosa of the divine chain of mountaintops of praise." I want us to spend some time this morning on the mountaintops of praise. Could you, for just a few moments, let the cares of this world and the problems of this life cease to invade our mind, and let's dwell on the mountaintop of praise and thank God this morning, not just in an effort of thanksgiving for this one time, but in thanksgiving to God for all that He's done for us in the past. Years ago, Bill Gaither wrote a song entitled, "Let's Just Praise the Lord." Many of you are familiar with it. It said, "Oh, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We have been in heavenly places, felt blessings from above. We've been sharing all the good things the family can afford. Let's just turn our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord." I want you to know today, child of God, we've got a myriad of reasons this morning why we should praise the Lord. The psalm explores some of those reasons during this Thanksgiving season. I want to remind you that some of the reasons as a child of God for the blessings of God that He's bestowed upon us. When a person goes to get a job these days, it's very important, and I surely don't make light of it, but a lot of times sometimes it's not so much how much we're going to make by the hour as it is by the benefits that we're going to get that go along with the job. And truly today, especially in this age of needing insurance and various things that are there, many times benefits have a great bearing upon our life and our family and all that we do. I want to remind you today that God gives us benefits, and literally there's no premium, okay? There's not a monthly bill. God just bestows upon us in spite of what we do and who we are and where we come from. The first thing I want you to notice today is the origin of praise. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." You know what he's saying? David is trying to stir up within himself the inner being of praise. Now, I want you to know this morning, the soul here refers to the heart, the will, and the emotions. It's part of us that makes us who we are. The soul is the one that appreciates, comprehends the fellowship with God. It's the spiritual side of our beings. It's the spiritual realm where praise, worship, and thanksgiving originate is in our soul. The word bless means to kneel before another with praise and adoration. It brings to mind a person engaged in worship before the Lord. Visible worship ought to be seen among the people of God. Truly today, God is worthy. Would you not agree? He's worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. And we surely could sing this morning too, "God be the glory, great things He's done." Because truly, He has blessed us more than we did deserve. For those things and many other things beside, the Lord is worthy to be praised. In Psalm 113, verse 1 through 3, he said, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." I'd venture to say today that what I believe that's saying, as a child of God, every place we go and everything we do, even somewhere during our day, our life and our conversation ought to be peppered together with the fact of adoration and praise to God. I wonder how many times your lips mention the goodness of God on a daily basis. I wonder how often you tell people how good God has been to you. I wonder how often we say, hey, I want you to know God saved me and gave me eternal life, and I'm going to heaven. Yet if we're not careful, we'll find that it'll get far, further and further pushed back away from our mind and heart. So the origin is it's our inner being. We've got to stir ourselves up. Friend, I'm telling you today, nature does not automatically turn on a switch that says praise. It must be brought about, and that's what he's saying. He said, oh, my soul. He said, all that is within me. And what he's trying to do is allow God to work in his life. We know heaven's business is worshiping and praising him. By the way, I was telling my guitar teacher the other day, I said, man, I don't think I'm gonna ever be real good. Here's what he said. He said, well, maybe God's just giving you these lessons so you can play better when you get to heaven. I'm not sure God can make you play however he wants to when you get to heaven. I'm not sure that's theologically sound. But it did. It was encouraging. Fact of it is, God's good. We know that we need to be doing in the areas of our lives. We need to do what David did. Well, to pray, Lord, stir me up. And I'll be honest with you, God's really dealt with me. I can't read this psalm without getting stirred up. I tell you, and I need to read it more. I probably ought to read it every day. Because I need to be stirred up to thank God for the blessings that he's bestowed upon me. And even though sometimes times are hard and they're difficult, in spite of it all, God has been good. Second thing we notice is the obligation of the praise. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The word benefits is the idea of dealings. God's calling on the inner man to remember the great things the Lord has done for us. I tell you, on a daily basis, we probably very seldom think about all the good things God did. In fact, we couldn't do it on a daily basis because I don't think you could remember all of them in one day, at least from my standpoint, especially when you get old like I am. To try to go back and remember all the good things God did. But you know what? If you listen to the flesh, you'll come to the conclusion that we have no reason to praise the Lord. I tell you today, we need to be careful because of the old flesh. I hear people all the time said, you know, my heart is willing, but my flesh is weak. What are they saying? They said, this old flesh just keeps working at me. And sometimes your flesh will keep you that pain. You know, I think of this. I know it's hard, but when we got pain, he said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And I know that's hard to do sometimes. If we focus on the world around us, it'll be hard to give him praise for what he's done. I tell you today, our world is in a mess. I believe it's in a bigger mess than it's ever been in our day, and I don't believe we've ever seen it to where in the place it is today. And I don't know what the future holds as far as this world down here. I do know what the future holds in the hands of the Lord. And if we're not careful, we'll get discouraged. I still watch a little bit to try to keep up with it, but I do not sit glued to the news all the time like I did for a while because it's depressing. It's discouraging. And friend, a lot of Christians today have listened to the news rather than reading the Bible, and they've gotten further and further and further away from the truth, the only truth that's going to help us and give us hope in the hour of our need. If we listen to the devil, we won't think we have anything to praise God for. You see, the devil wants you to fail. He'll tell you there's no reason to praise God. Listen, folks, and I just want you to listen to me. If God never did anything but save us and give us eternal life, that's enough to praise him for all eternity. But I can tell you, he's been much better than that. I'll tell you what, God's blessed me, and again, there's been trials, there's just been disappointments, there's been heartache. And I tell you, there's some of you sitting here and your hearts are heavy, and I know the times has been hard, but again, I remind you still, that does not change the fact. And listen, we cannot blame God. God created this world. He's given us our mind, and in our mind, it's our ability to do what He wants us to do. But yet, we have to make the decision of whether to rejoice. And I tell you today, I could list all the bad things that's happened to me, but I couldn't. Well, let me back up. I don't have any bad things that's happened to me. You said, preacher, now wait a minute, everybody's got bad things. Well, I don't know. The Bible says we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them called according to His purpose. Now, that's hard to comprehend in some circumstances. It's hard to really grasp a hold of that. How can that be good? And I know that in our minds we're trying to wrap it around there. But again, listen, I'm just saying God is good. And God will bless us in all that we do. It is a call for the soul to contemplate and to dwell and to think and to pray on what God has done. It's the Word of God that strengthens us. It's the Word of God that carries us. I got off the phone with this person this week. I immediately sent him 4 or 5 pages in an email of scripture verses and things that I felt like would be a help. Friend, I'm telling you today, my help is not in the world. My hope is not in the world. My help is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. And friend, today we need to be concentrating on Him. He said, forget not. You know, the word forget refers to a lapse of memory that causes our minds to wander. We forget what God has done in Christ. We forget that we are in Christ. There's a real danger that we'll wander away from Him. I'm saddened often. I tell you, through the years, I've been at it for 40 years. And I've seen folks come and go. Somebody called me this morning and was asking me about some folks that used to come. And I tell you today, it breaks my heart for people that used to come. I'm not talking about people that moved away. I'm not talking about people that joined another church and they're happy there. I'm talking about people that just got away from God. And you know what I believe happened? I believe their minds begin to wander and they begin to forget about all the blessings of God upon our life. Thanksgiving and praise are not optional, by the way. They're commanded. Thanksgiving and praise is not optional. It's commanded. If you're a child of God, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will that we give praise this morning. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians 5:20. In Hebrews 13:15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in His name. Friend, how long has it been since you thanked God for what He done? You know, I have to be careful just as much as you do. But I tell you, sometimes our prayers consist of, Lord, would You do this? Lord, would You heal this? Lord, would you help this? And you know what? I've mentioned this before, and I'm not going to mention his name again. There's an individual that's always a blessing to me when he prays. The first 10 minutes, he just thanks God. He just thanks God. Thank You for my salvation. Thank You for my family. Thank You for my church. You know, just thanking God. And then he gets to the point of asking the Lord. Not only is thanksgiving and praise commanded, but they're both beneficial. Listen, prayer and thanksgiving is beneficial. You said, how? I'm going to tell you how. The Bible said in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it brings peace to your heart. Friend, if you're praising the Lord, it'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. He said, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You ought to write that down. Be careful. Be anxious. The word careful means anxious. Don't be worried about nothing. Be careful nothing but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Not only does it bring peace of heart, but it brings peace of mind. I tell you today how important it is for our minds. You know what? The devil, I believe, is out to destroy our minds. I tell you, he's out to destroy the minds of young people today. And by the way, if the devil's going to attack, that's the number one place he's going to attack, because it's with the mind. Our heart is the soul of our being. And I'm not talking about the physical heart. I'm talking about the heart of our soul. But I tell you, our mind is what we use to think. At least I hope we do. But the devil will do everything he can to destroy our mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I tell you today, if we think about the condition of the world, if we listen to the devil, if we allow the flesh to destroy us, we'll get so discouraged and so down. But listen, when we begin to praise God, it'll help us to have the peace of heart. It'll give us a peace of mind. He said, finally, brethren. I guess when they tried everything else, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's a promise from the Word of God. We know today that God's given us, and he's had folks writing, and Paul gave that. And by the way, that's a great testimony that he could say, and seen in me. I tell you today, as your pastor, I would be reluctant. I would be a little afraid to say that. But I tell you, Paul could say it with boldness, not in because he was cocky, not in because he felt worthy, but just in the fact that Paul knew that he loved the Lord and he gave thanks to God, and he knew God would give him the peace that he needed in his life. Not only would it bring peace to the heart and peace of mind, but it'll bring contentment. In Philippians 4, 9 through 13, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul said, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then my favorite verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul was a thankful man, but he had some difficult times. Prison, if you will, beatings, if you will, punishment along the way. But he said, giving thanks gives me peace of heart, peace of mind, and brings contentment in my heart. Thirdly and lastly, verses 3 through 22, and we'll have to move quickly to get all this, but the objects of our praise. David identifies 8 reasons why believers ought to be engaged in the business of giving thanks and praising God. First of all, in the first part of verse 3, the first one is, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, well, actually, that's 2 of them. Forgiveness of our sin. I don't have to dwell on that this morning. I think most of you here, I hope you know today the power of the forgiveness of the Holy Spirit of God. I hope there's been times in our life, and I'm going to tell you, no matter what problem, thank God, no problem, no matter what the phone call might be, no matter what anybody's going through, I still have the thing that I can share with them the most. God is a forgiving God. God is willing to forgive your sins and to scatter as far as the east is to the west, never to remember them against you no more. But you have to repent and come to the place of understanding. My sins are gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. G-O-N-E, my sins are gone. Then in the latter part of verse 3, there's healing of all our diseases. I believe it talks about our souls. In him, our soul is made whole. Now, I know a lot of people would take this verse and say, well, okay, now, God, if you got a problem, God's going to heal you if you have enough faith. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'd have to say that our churches is filled with faithless people then, because I tell you, I see every church is full of people that have afflictions and problems in their life. And the Apostle Paul did too, by the way. I don't believe he's talking about always physical healing, but maybe he is. Because it doesn't matter whether he heals us here or when he takes us home, but we all are going to be healed, no matter what the circumstances may be in our life. Healing for our soul. In verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I tell you today, in him we stand redeemed. I tell you not, we've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, which is his. Thank the Lord today, redemption from slavery. We're not a bond slave anymore to this old world. We're not a bond slave to sin. We've been set free. The Bible said he shall know the truth, and the truth shall make him, or will make him, free. Thank the Lord today, redemption from our slavery. I tell you, no longer are we a slave to sin. We've got greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have power to overcome anything that comes our way. Look at the latter part of verse 4. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Well, that might be a difficult one. Somebody said, well, what do you mean? Who crowneth us with loving kindness? I'm going to tell you, children, disobedient, need to be punished and made to do right. I believe that. And I say this more, and I've understood it, but I'll be honest with you, and I've said this before, and you know it. It's harder when you get to be a grandparent, but you know you have to. You have to get on them or do whatever you need to do. But I never do it without when it's all over. I let them know that I love them. And I want to hear them say to me they love me too. I don't make them say it, but normally they always do. But I'm telling you, when God allows things to come into our life, we talk oftentimes, and my daddy, I told you, I didn't understand it. Daddy said, son, this hurts me more than you. And I tell you, when he was giving it to me, I thought he's crazy saying that. But I know exactly what he's talking about. But I'm going to tell you, in spite of it all, God loves us with an everlasting love, loving kindness, and tender mercies. Then in verse 5, strength for living. Who satisfieth thy mouth with what? Good things. Boy, isn't it wonderful today? In him, we have spiritual satisfaction. I tell you what we have is sufficient for the journey. Listen, today there's nothing that can overcome or overtake the Word of God that indwells our heart. If we lean upon it and depend upon it and trust God to give it to us in order that we might do what Christ would have us to do, who satisfieth with good things. Then we see in verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed, intercession for his people. In him, we have one who pleads our case. He's our advocate, if you will. He's our lawyer. He's our go-between. The Bible said there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Truly today, I'm grateful for God interceding on my behalf. Friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight, or this morning. I don't know why I'm trying to get y'all into the night, but I can tell you something this morning. When you pray to God, whether you believe it or not, if your heart, and again, I have to believe when we pray, the Bible said if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. So I believe in order to pray, we better be sure we're cleansed. First thing we need to do when we pray is ask God for forgiveness of our own sin. But when we begin to pray and seek God, there's no doubt in my mind that my Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. You know why? Because he said he would. And friend, he does not lie. And he intercedes on my behalf. In verse 7, there's a revelation of himself. He hath made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Through him, we can know him. We can fellowship him with him. I'm grateful today for the truth. The Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. There may be things down here that we may never know. But thank God we can know him in a real in a personal way. He's revealed Himself to us in His Word. In the Bible, Genesis said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm grateful today He revealed Himself through His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad today to know that my God is real. Brother Doyle Robertson called me last night. They were just coming through the mountains, headed into South Carolina. He said, man, he said, I wish you could see what we saw today. I thought they had seen something along the way that was a spectacle. But he said, the color of the trees up here, I have never seen them the way they look. And he said, man, he said, Don and I just were in awe at our Creator, our God, and the beauty of this world that He's given to us. Friend, every time we look at something in nature beautiful, you better understand the Creator of who gave it to us. Friend, today, yesterday, by the way, until it got a little cloudy, yesterday morning was beautiful here. We got color in our trees like I've never seen before, or at least in a long time. And Susan and I, we get under the road. Look at that tree. Look at that tree. It's the beauty of what God gives us along the way, revealing Himself. Then we see in verse 19, God's sovereign control over all things. The Bible said, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens. Do you believe the word of God? Listen what He said. And His kingdom ruleth over all. I don't know what's going on with the president. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but it's possible that he could lose his power. But God will never lose His power. Friend, I want you to know that He hadn't slipped up on nothing, hadn't overlooked nothing. I had something I've been supposed to do for 2 weeks. Just forgot it. My wife reminded me yesterday, and we got up immediately to fulfill that obligation. I was embarrassed. I had to ask forgiveness. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't never have to worry about God forgetting. You don't have to worry about God messing up. Friend, you can just thank Him because He controlleth all things. David closes his psalm by calling on all creation to join with him as he praises the Lord. He goes on to say, bless the Lord, verse 20. He said, bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength and do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His host, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I tell you today, I've only scratched the surface of trying to paint a picture of thanksgiving. But I tell you today, if you're saved, you ought to thank God. You know that you're going to heaven when you die. If you've got a good family, and even if you don't have a good family, you still need to thank God for them and praise the Lord for them. But I tell you what, God's given us blessings in our family. We need to think of the good things, the good things. We lost a son at an early age. But I tell you, I like to just every now and then think about the good things. I saw the blessings of God through His 23 years of life. And it's not easy, but listen, I thank God for that. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. It was Job that said it had been better if I had not been born. I disagree with that. If God put you here, He put you here for a reason and a purpose for however long. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your church. I'm not talking about me. But I'm talking about the good, godly people that He's put in this place that have been faithful through the years to serving God. Thank God this morning for a Bible that instructs me and guides me. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He said, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but he said, the word of my God shall stand forever. I thank God today for my Bible. And irregardless of how you feel, thank God for your health. You made it here this morning, didn't you? Might have been hard. Maybe hard getting back, but you got here. Thank God for it. Think of material blessings, the food that you eat, the air that you breathe, the home you occupy, the water you drink, the clothing you wear, the friends you love. Thank God for the blessings of this life that He gives to us. I tell you today, we have so much to be thankful for, more than we'll ever know. Our blessings are enormous. To try to catalog all of them would be absolutely impossible. Yet you should pause and think about them for a moment and just thank God and praise Him for all that He's done for you. As we come before the Lord to pray about the objects of prayer that we've offered today, I wonder tonight, this morning, if you'd be willing to stir up the inner man in your soul to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Would you be willing to take a quick spiritual inventory and thank God for all that He's done for you in Christ? So, as King David said, and later Bill Gaither said, let's just praise the Lord. And I tell you, let's make it a week, starting right now, to everywhere we go, tell people how good our God has been to us. I hear of things every day that break my heart. And I realize things happen sometime to us that break our heart. But I submit to you today, God is still good. He's been good. He's always been good. He's in control of all things. Would you this morning, this Thanksgiving, would you, let's just praise the Lord. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together this morning. Lord, we thank you for the 103rd Psalm as well as all the Word of God. But I'm afraid today that most Christians probably don't even spend a tenth of their time praising the Lord. We're rather dwelling on things that hurt us more than it helps us, that pulls us down more than it builds us up, that gets us to the place of discouragement. Friend, you've done more for me than I could ever thank you for. And I pray this morning that you would bless us here. And I pray today that this church would be filled with the people today that would just in their hearts and mind praise you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.